Hey guys, we're reaching behind the Patreon wall for a second here and giving you a taste of what our episodes are like on Mission Briefing. This one, of course, stars Roger Moore, along with 4,000 other people in a kind of mad world kind of movie. Much sillier, much more fun than it's a mad world. Also Rat Race and all those kind of movies. In the meantime, that's why you'll hear John as a host. But consider joining our Patreon. Everything this month will be shifted up one tier. So the Mission Briefing will be free. The main feed will be at the Myopia Mission Briefing feed. And a riff will be at the $10 level. Or the $5 level. So if you're interested, sign up now and get a movie riff at a discount. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to Mission Briefing, part of the Myopia Network. This is your host, John, and today we are looking at the 1981 amazing masterpiece, Cannonball Run. With me on panel today are...
Nick.
Fitzy.
Charlie.
And this was a masterpiece of cinematography. It really was. And we'll definitely get into this as we go. But the reason this is on Mission Briefing is... what I think is one of the better gags that this movie has, which is Roger Moore playing some rich, snobby guy named Seymour, who is in himself playing Roger Moore the spy.
Who's Roger Moore the character?
Who's Roger Moore the character? It's very Tropic Thunder. Like, he's a character playing a character playing a character. I love it. And they ham up the James Bond aspects. And we'll go into that more. But who wants to give the synopsis?
I can do it.
Yeah, Nick.
Simple enough.
So this is the Cannonball Run, which is this kind of huge race from, what is it? It's New York?
New Jersey?
It ends in L.A. Yeah. They have to drive across the country. And you have kind of every stereotype of car redneck type. But the idea is that it's a race. So how can you get across the country while tricking people into not getting pulled over or stopped when you're going 120 miles an hour? We then have kind of, it's a mad world kind of a setup where there's a whole bunch of cars we follow for the joke-em-ups. About half this movie is introducing us, and the rest is driving across the country, trying to see who's going to win the Cannonball Run. The only other kind of twist to this is in the first 5 minutes, a bunch of good old boys threaten some environmentalists, which ends up creating a villain for this movie, where he alerts the cops in like 3 or 4 states along the way that this race is coming through. So there's occasionally, like in Missouri and Illinois and California, the police are warned that these racers are coming through, so they try to stop them along the way. Pretty much that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think somewhere along the lines they explain that you're going 3,000 miles coast to coast. And as fast as you can, which, according to their math, was something like 83 miles an hour the entire way. Which, at a time when the speed limit was like 55,
this
was crazy fast.
Post Carter's malaise forever, 55 mile an hour national speed limit.
I mean, 55 is what's driven in my neighborhood. Like, on the highways, I can't even imagine it being driven there. And, of course, we all live in Atlanta where the speed limit is X. And you always have to drive faster than that just to keep up with traffic.
Well, or traffic is X, and you're driving 35 miles an hour for 2.5 hours, which is why we're starting recording late today.
Yeah. There was a meme going around recently where it takes an hour and a half to go from Atlanta to Atlanta.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we can start at the very beginning here. We have a whole bunch of different race crews that kind of cobble together. The first two we're actually introduced to, we don't really get introduced to until we get halfway through, but it's these two women driving a black Ferrari.
It's a Lamborghini. It's a Countach. Lamborghini,
yeah. A Lamborghini Countach.
Yes.
Gorgeous car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we should also mention that this movie is directed by the great Hal Needham, who before was like a stunt coordinator. And so like all he does is film.
You can tell.
Yeah.
The car scenes are the best.
I was reading up on him. Like he basically invented modern stunts.
Yeah.
Like, he did everything, and he invented the way you do everything. And so his movies incorporate them amazingly well.
And it's very light on its feet. Like, this is a very silly, over-the-top kind of comedic movie.
Once it really gets started, it's quick, but it takes a half hour to get started. It's only about an hour and a half long, but it takes a half hour to introduce you to all the characters, and then they finally take off on the cannonball run.
And then there's that biker fight in the middle that takes up an inordinately long amount of time.
Well, we have a Blues Brothers fight.
I was going to say, you said it's in the middle, and it felt like it was in the middle, but it was surprisingly at the end.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that was sort of like, you get 5 minutes before the end because the fight wraps up, and then like 5 minutes later, the movie's credits are rolling, you know, because they've somehow got past this obstacle of the biker fight, and now they can, like, win the race.
Which, I love the biker fight. It introduces us to Jackie Chan as we all know it.
That is true.
True.
Well, I mean, we gotta get through this because, like, this is insane. Like,
this is one of his
Jackie
first
Chan
movie.
Playing a Japanese racer, and we have the whole fear of Japanese technology thing for a good half hour.
So, yeah. Of which it's probably the least offensive stereotype that they've just rolled out in this movie.
Sammy Davis Jr. hates the Rat Pack, right? Because they're like, you're a black guy and you're Jewish? That's the jokes.
Yeah.
That's the whole joke. Yeah. And Dean is drunk as a skunk this whole time. I mean, we can start at the beginning here. After the Lamborghini chase, we're introduced to Dom DeLuise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's his character?
Burt Reynolds.
JJ.
And they're driving along in a Porsche. Oh, well, they're first in the garage, and they're driving around in a Porsche. The Porsche gets knocked to shit, and then Captain Chaos comes out.
Captain Chaos.
Him.
Referred to as him throughout the movie.
Like he's... Like it's goddamn Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And again, I will say, Burt Reynolds is funny, but he's that kind of straight man funny. He's very, like, chewing on gum the whole time.
Or he looks at the camera and winks.
Yeah.
Like that's his funny.
That's his funny.
You stay through the credits, right, and watch Dom DeLuise laughing for 20 minutes and end up trying to slap him so he stops.
Yeah.
He had fun with this. Fine. But then they smash cut. You know what? This fast car is not going to work. And then they go in a plane, and they're just drinking in a plane 10 minutes.
Not just that, but they, like, run out of beer while flying, land in the middle of Main Street, USA, hop out, buy another six-pack of beer, and then take off again.
That's all you need to know about this movie.
Yeah.
Hal Needham had so much fun here.
It wasn't just Main Street, USA. It was, like, Covington.
It was actually in Georgia.
Georgia.
Because I was like, I saw that Main Street, that square, that area, and I'm like, that looks incredibly familiar. And I Googled it, and sure enough.
And you can actually see where the police barricades are when it's cut off the traffic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, and you also see that they, and again, Hal Needham, Smokey and the Bandit, like, he knew his stuff. He knew what he was getting into with Burt Reynolds, but Burt Reynolds is just like, we'll get some more beer.
Yeah.
And you see extras just diving out of the way of this airplane. There was not a lot of setup for these stunts. He's just going.
Well, from what I understand, they, like, recorded the whole thing, like, in 4 weeks or something. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which is really, I mean, how much is there? You get some stock footage of cars driving and then crash them. And that's half the movie right there.
That's true.
Well, and credit to them. That was what makes this movie feel breezy. Right? I cannot rewatch It's a Mad, 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 Mad World because it's 3.5 hours long, right? And everyone gets their joke, fine. But the movie is bogged down by giving these people time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This just is what? It's like 140 minutes, or not even, an hour 40?
Yeah.
100 minutes on the nose?
And like, the biggest scene is probably like where we're introduced to all the characters where they're all together at this like Cannonball Inn or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I thought in the fern bar, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
After they desperately try to kill that Hoyt guy, who we'll get to, because we're still not there, because we're still introducing people. Because then we get introduced to Seymour as Roger Moore, because he looks like Roger Moore, and his mom, his poor put him on mother.
Mother.
It's like, you know how much money I put into acting school for you? And then the maid found this. And then we have a scene out of 1989's Joker.
Right. He pulls out a Walther PPK and says, "You know too much, mother," aims it at her, shoots it, and the Joker bang flag pops out.
And then we're back to JJ and Don Deluise.
Like, turn to the camera or something and says, like, this is the kid I raised or something stupid like that?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Everyone's winking at the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I get the line right, Hal? then we cut back to them in a speedboat this time.
Well, they're trying to find the perfect vehicle to get across the country, aren't they?
Yeah. They are.
And they realize that it just doesn't work, a speedboat or a plane.
They crash the speedboat.
Yeah.
And they end up... Because
they're looking at the girls on
correct,
the...
Correct, because, of course, Burt Reynolds is looking at the women.
Of course he is.
He is. And they just happen to go by, like, three boats filming Girls Gone Wild videos in a row.
Correct.
They're just women's wearing bikinis, and then they miss the fourth boat with women in bikinis, plow into it, and they smash cut to being in the back of an ambulance, and then, with his broken finger, he's waving a broken finger as JJ's in a neck brace, and that's kind of
You mean we can run red lights, and cops don't pull you over? And the EMT is like, oh yeah, we can go anywhere. Ding! You can see the light bulb pop over their heads.
And before that, there was that joke about, well, we could get a black Trans Am, and Burt Reynolds says, yeah, we've done that already.
We saw that picture.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether to believe this. It's probably true, but if you look at the look at IMDb at the trivia, apparently the ambulance used in the movie was the actual one that Hal Needham and Brock Yates souped up and raced in the actual cannonball round.
That's what caused Brock Yates to lose his editorship of Car and Driver magazine. That's how he knew so much about the race and the cars, because he was that editor. And they said, you ran the race in an ambulance? We can't employ you anymore.
But here's the thing. If that was Hunter S. Thompson, it becomes a best-selling book, and he's invited to be the editor-in-chief, right?
This is Hollywood. Because
that's the game, though. And again, the funny thing is, they look at each other like, you know, an old married couple. They smile, and they have this plan. And you realize this is not the first scam they've done. There's the Sting-esque movie with these two that's about the same, actually. It's really... We also have, at this point, who else are we introduced to? We're introduced to Jackie Chan on this TV show, right? Yep. And it's, you know, standard. It's actually kind of treated respectfully.
I don't think it's even translated, is
We've got the notable teams, and that is the Japanese teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Ironically,
even
Jackie Chan
Chinese.
Being a Chinese man.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, and so they play up that stereotype. It's a Subaru, I believe. Subaru hatchback.
Is it a Subaru?
Yeah. It has been computerized and souped up with all sorts of technology, which they use to watch
porno later.
Yeah.
Behind the green door.
Because they're Japanese. Yeah.
And two, we should talk about the scene for a second, because they're on like a talk show, which is treated not respectfully, but it's as madcap as anything. It's not racist per se. And then you have like this actress who's on. It's a panel show.
Yeah.
And then the Jackie Chan's driving partner, because they're driving in pairs, is flirting with this woman, puts her in the car, and accidentally starts the car and it drives through a wall.
Yeah.
Smash the credits. Right.
Yeah.
At which point we're introduced to the next stereotype, which is the Arab sheik.
Oh my god. He doesn't even actually have a name. He's just is
the
referred
sheik.
To as
the sheik. Yeah.
And it's Jamie Farr.
Yes.
And bless his heart, he does a fantastic job of being utterly offensive. Because
his character is 100%.
His character, that's what it is. It's just a bunch of stereotypes. And let's just get a joke.
Because he drives a Rolls, and he doesn't know really how to drive it. He just drives it crazy. And they've got a couple of guys on camels.
Yes.
Looking at him as he's driving his Rolls just down the road, and they're like, it must be good to be the sheik.
And on top of that, they go, he killed three camels last week. Yeah. Which, again, is a joke that you give to JJ, which is fine. But the other side of the same joke, which is just as absurd, is it's the same exact scene, because he's sitting with his wife, that Seymour has with his mother. And in fact, it's probably the same pool on the same set, just filming the desert instead of filming the house.
Yeah,
yeah.
But by Allah's beard, we're going to raise.
Yeah, it was the sister. It was the sheik's sister.
Yeah, sheik's sister.
And that was Bianca Jagger.
There you go.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
For those
that's
of
right,
us
it was
older
Bianca
to,
Jagger, yeah. But every beautiful woman he meets along the way, he invites to be one of his wives.
Yeah. Yes.
I did like the girl at like the steak and shake type thing. Like the you... Was it you drive up and they come out and roller skates type thing?
This was the first order that they've taken by phone.
Yeah, and exactly. And he gives her like the diamond off his ring and says, "I will come back and marry you."
Yeah.
Oh, and then he gives her a wad of cash. She says, "Go get tested."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. What?
There's three jokes there that happened way too quick.
And I was like, what? I almost missed that one.
Yeah.
And then we have the eccentric billionaire with his afro.
Bert Convy.
And very timely, very especially, you know, with billionaires going into space.
Yeah, Richard Branson nonsense.
Yeah.
But he's in the back of a plane. We find out. We learn this later. He's in front of this kind of yellow wall, and he's talking, you know, to a secretary or the vice president of his company, and they're saying, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this. And he goes, "Watch me." And he puts on a helmet and drives a motorcycle out the back of a plane with a parachute, which he's then going to spend the rest of the movie in drag. No, he's the one in the tux, and his driving partner's in drag.
Yeah,
correct. Because supposedly no one's going to pull over a married couple
on their honeymoon.
On their honeymoon?
Yeah. But then how do you know they're on their honeymoon? Unless
exactly.
You pull them over.
Yeah.
This is why he's a CEO.
Exactly.
And now we're edging ever closer, actually, to the Cannonball Hotel, like 20 minutes into this movie, which is fine.
I mean...
I would like to go back to the Lamborghini girls.
Yes.
Adrian Barbeau.
And the other one.
The other one is...
Tara
is
somebody. I forget. I looked her up.
Tara Reeves.
Yeah, I looked her up and I was like...
I think her name was like Tara Buckner or something.
Tara Buckner.
I don't remember her. But, I mean, Adrian Barbeau she's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
And, I mean, again, they're driving the Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. They're getting out of... fines by just showing their cleavage. It's like, "I'm sorry, officer. I didn't know I was going too fast. Let me pull in out my driver's license.
Yeah.
I'll just pull it out from my bra here, and you'll let us off, right?" And they take turns doing it.
They do.
Does not work in real life. Friendly tip for you.
Have you ever gotten yourself out of a ticket?
Yeah, but not that way.
Not that way.
Just looking.
And you failed it that way.
Looking sad. Yes. Yeah. And it was kind of the same way the girls failed in the movie.
Okay.
I got pulled over and I was like, "Well, I'm looking cute today." And it was a female cop. So, got to take it.
I blamed the Democrats and I got off the ticket once. So.
Yeah.
Then there was the, the low rent Duke brothers.
This is who we're introduced to. It's Terry Bradshaw and Bradshaw.
And Mel Tillis.
Yes. There you go.
They drive into a pool. It's all good.
Yeah.
Well, we're driving the Hawaiian Tropic car.
Yeah.
They're running for the cops. Terry Bradshaw. Again with the road soda. These guys are just drinking, which is great.
This movie is brought to you by Budweiser.
Very clearly. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing like a driving movie sponsored by alcoholism. But they're like,
80s,
they're trying to find a place to pull over. He overshoots his turn and ends up in the pool. The cops drive by. They're like, "Well, we should look at the car after a couple of brewskis." And like, fine. That's their characters.
Yeah.
We get it. Then we're also introduced to that pickup truck. Again, there's so many fucking people.
Oh,
in this
movie.
Exactly. But the guy who does all the voices.
Oh, Mad Dog.
I can't help you. There's 200 people in this cast.
I know.
Rick Aviles.
Aviles. And he's, they're in two scenes. They get pulled over pretty quick.
But then you've got.
We got plenty of time for bad impersonations.
Sammy Davis Jr. and
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin.
Rat Pack movie.
Yes. Pretending to be priests.
Because no one's going to pull over the priests.
Well, and at one point, you want to talk about drinking. They're drinking hard liquor this whole movie.
Every single scene they're in, they have beers in at least one of their hands.
But, we can't forget here.
No, more like mixed drinks.
Glasses.
They're classy, that's right.
They have tumbler.
And the fact that they're paired together is fantastic.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
We have to remember, too, that Sammy Davis is a degenerate gambler this whole time as well. Like, we see him introduced at, like, a gambling hall.
Talking to
Jimmy the Greek.
Jimmy the Greek, yes.
It's in the credits as Jimmy the Greek.
Yep.
But, like, he's betting on who's going to win, who's going to lose, who's going to be knocked out at certain times. And then they show up at the thing wearing these costumes, these outfits. And he pulls out his Star of David, Sammy Davis Jr., famous Jewish guy. He goes, "Don't worry, God is our co-pilot." And Dean Martin looks at him like a drunk skunk, and he goes, "If he's the co-pilot, where am I going to sit?" See.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Like, looking at, like you said, IMDb, like, you take what they say with a grain of salt, but they were going to give, like, Terry Bradshaw and the other guy, like, a spin-off show. about that.
You mean Dukes of Hazzard?
Basically, this is just... yeah. I would pay to see Sammy Davis Jr. and Dee Martin as these characters in another movie.
Oh, yeah. Well,
dude, this is my MCU.
Down.
This is the Avengers just working backwards.
Yeah, it goes backwards.
Movie.
That's right.
And you know what?
Origin stories.
Classier than anything else. There's not a Confederate flag to be found in this movie. I was shocked.
There's still a fuck ton of racism.
That's true. There was a fuck ton of racism.
It's still 1981, let's be fair.
Okay.
And
1981's version of humor.
It's okay. Sammy Davis is laughing too, right? He's okay with all of it.
You've got a black guy and some Japanese/Chinese. Like, it's all good, right?
No, they're Asians. The casting call was for Asian actor.
Asian,
And they play that generic Asian ding 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 kind of music every time they show up.
Oh my gosh, yeah, every time they show up on screen.
Time.
They're just like,
is that a gong I hear? We're about to see a Subaru. and then the last kind of element of this is there is a Save the Shrimp meeting happening at the Cannonball Run Hotel. And I'm sorry, if you're at that hotel, you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to fix the Hawaiian Tropic car now that it's been flooded. And they rev the engine so loud it shatters the window, pissing off Foyt, who becomes their foil the entire time, and setting up a blonde for JJ to kidnap later on as the photographer.
Because the blonde is Farrah Fawcett. Who is amazing as being Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, yeah, well, true. Amazing at being Farrah Fawcett.
She was hired for one reason only. Because she's Farrah Fawcett.
Well, they're going to kidnap her, drug her, and gas her in the next half hour.
That's true. I was going to say, and then it gets really weird.
Yeah. The fact that she makes a joke out of, like, I was afraid this would be a gangbang. It's like, what?
I was just like, oh, 80s, and your inappropriate humor.
But again, like, within, like, we haven't seen Terry Bradshaw for 30 seconds. He's just carrying a case of beer under each arm. Let's drive for 3 days.
Well, don't they say, like, oh, I got all the essentials, and he comes back with beer and a bag of chips?
Yeah.
Like, tons of beer.
Well, and the whole joke is that his navigator at this point, is like, but I have to pee. And I'm like, you're not peeing for 3 days, buddy. Like, here's a case of beer. Get it working. I guess the GMC drives through the front of the building, hitting Foyt with the car.
Who is OSHA, or he's fed something?
I don't remember what he is. He works. I got the impression that he may actually even work for a senator or some sort of elected official, where he's on someone's staff.
Yeah, he knows people because the whole thing is that despite him being a wet blanket, he actually does have control over the police. Kind of later on, he's setting up all these blockades and barricades and stuff. But he's the guy who wants to open the containment unit in Ghostbusters. He's just a wet blanket from the government constantly, which means he's going to get hit by a truck, which means JJ's nearly going to kill him at every turn. See Stroker Ace, where you just have Burt Reynolds trying to kill an old man, and that's kind of the movie.
Yeah. I did like this guy has the worst luck, because every scene he's in, he's calling in help from the feds, but then as soon as he's done doing that, he gets hit by a car. He gets crashed somehow. He's in a phone booth, and a woman backs up and blocks him in the phone booth.
Yeah.
And he has to sneak his way out from the bottom somehow.
Well, and the other thing, too, is remember, JJ is showing up dressed as an ambulance driver with an ambulance as his car. Floyd has just been hit by a truck. And they're like, aren't you going to do anything? Nah, he's fine. And he gets a seltzer bottle, and he's like, rubs his face. He's like, yeah, see, he's recovering. I'm leaving. Give me a room. And then they go to the bar because everyone's in the bar.
That's a good prep for a big cross-country race. It's just get hammered.
I mean, like we've already said, like the cops don't pull them over because they're drinking. They pull them over because
they're
speeding.
Well, maybe the breathalyzer hadn't been invented yet, but the cans,
they're holding beer cans when they're pulled over.
And the cop doesn't say, have you been drinking? They say, you've been speeding.
And also, I mean, 1981, I mean, 50-50 chance if you get pulled over and you got a beer in your hand, probably won't say anything, depending on where you are.
I mean, some of us are too young to remember 1981, but I've been told that you can be pulled over and your car is literally sloshing with beer, and they'll just say, drive safe.
Well, yeah. I've seen the commercials, the documentaries where you open the door and there's the olives floating by as you've been drinking and driving.
yes, yes. We all saw them in fourth grade.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes.
We also, this is the bar scene, right? This is all of them drinking together before. This is the, you know, again, we did Bloodsport. This is the feast yeah. before the fighting competition.
Exactly.
This is where they try to pick up the
Lamborghini girl.
Yeah, the Lamborghini girl.
They try to pick up everybody.
You know, Sammy Davis and Dean Martin are toasting everyone in the bar.
Yep.
Father, Padre.
But there was a method to the madness, at least with Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise.
They were looking for a girl.
They were looking not only for a girl, but they were also looking for a doctor.
Right.
And
yes.
I'll come back to the doctor, because that's important.
Because there's a young Frankenstein joke, which happened six times throughout the movie.
It was amazing. But that was their tactic. They're going to drive across country trying to get this person to California.
Right. Emergency surgery.
Yes.
Something, which is funny, because in 5 seconds, we're going to come, like, she needs a transplant. She needs emergency surgery from a specialist in UCLA. They didn't think that far ahead, because they get pulled over immediately. Everyone gets pulled over immediately, and they don't have a plan. We got to go to California. Yeah.
And the cops are like, why didn't you fly her? Well, that's
a great
question. We'll ask the doctor.
Which the doctor did respond quickly on his feet. Jaculum did a fantastic job.
Yes.
As Igor, basically.
As Igor, yes. Dr. Nicholas Van Helsing.
Van Helsing.
Yes.
And again, it's the Frau Blücher joke from Young Frankenstein. You hear a horror movie sting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
And he looks like a melty-faced monster. He does the bug-eyed thing.
Like, did he have contacts or something where, like, his eyes purposely went opposite directions, or was that something he could do?
No, I'm sure he was a vaudevillian, and that was just a thing he could do.
It was freaky.
Yeah.
It really was.
I mean, it really was. It was hilarious. They had the cathedral music every time he was shown, and he did that, you know, sort of like dramatic look, you know, when
he's got
he
the
first appeared.
In his hand all the time.
Constantly.
Yeah. It was perfect. I mean, this movie had a couple of things that I absolutely loved. The comedy style was extremely physical, and it was amazing. Dom DeLuise was...
He's a treasure.
Absolutely. This is like classic Dom DeLuise. Just amazing, funny, just physical humor. Played really well off of Burt Reynolds.
Well, and it's also that he's not naive, but he has such a boyishness to him.
Yes.
JJ's kind of serious, but he also clearly likes the guy.
It's the optimist versus the cynic. You know?
Right. And, like,
and
you know,
as a criminal duo, they work pretty well.
And the whole thing was like, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends, and JJ's my friend, and, you know, they do actually get along, but I'm just trying to think of, like, could you remake this movie today? And you really can't, because you need, like, a John Candy type, and there aren't a lot of John Candy types around.
Yeah, Melissa
like,
McCarthy. Yeah. That's probably the closest.
I mean, yeah, you could do the gender flip thing.
Yeah.
She'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be brilliant.
Because, I mean, like...
But, like, who would be Burt Reynolds?
God, that's the problem. You need, because you also need someone who can do it like a joke. Vin Diesel can't deliver a joke.
No.
You do Channing Tatum, but he's a little bit young. Yeah, I mean, but like that's the problem. Like, there's not, because we also don't have comedy teams in that same way anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Because essentially, same with the Mad world, but they're all just old comedy duos. Sammy Davis had been doing movies with Dean Martin for 30 years at this point. Right?
Yeah.
And Burt Reynolds had been doing movies like this since the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just him playing himself, like, what's the grip this week, Hal? Like, that's kind of what he's doing. So I appreciate that kind of nonsense. But we're finally to the start of the race.
Finally.
And best I can tell, it happens...
I had it in my notes, but I don't remember, I didn't put down who put it, but it was, this is like the Bay of Pigs, but the automotive version.
That's
a catastrophe.
I think that's what Foyt says.
Is it?
When he's calling the police, right?
Yeah.
When he's letting people know what's going to happen.
And that's exactly how it starts. Because, like, you've got, say, Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin just, like, weaving their way out in the car out of the parking lot. And the Beverly Hillbillies guys, they immediately go, like, through a bank of trees. Roger Moore signs himself in as Roger Moore.
Yeah.
Well, we should also talk about this joke. In fact, he even does the autograph as Roger Moore. He has driving gloves. But the gags about Roger Moore are all Bond gags, and they're very well done. In fact, whenever he's on screen, he gets the twangy, surfy guitar, right?
Yeah.
But he's also in a different suit every time he's on screen, and with a different woman.
Yeah.
Also with a different fake accent, right? Sometimes she's Russian, sometimes she's French. And so, like, when he's first introduced and he's signing in, he's wearing, you know, a beautiful baby blue suit with leather driving gloves. He has the aviators on. He goes, "You might recognize me from the movies." And there's this blonde woman next to him wearing a beautiful dress, and that's the joke. And then when the race starts, which presumably is either later that night or the next morning, like it's still dark out, he's with another woman, that same scene effectively, in a different suit. It's great.
But he's driving the same car. He is the same DB5, Aston Martin DB5 from Goldfinger. They did get that. Apparently it is missing now. It was stolen from the private collection. And no one knows where it is anymore. But this is the same DB5 from Goldfinger.
There's another group we're not really ever introduced to in the same way, but it's two rednecks driving a pedophile van.
Oh, yeah.
We're introduced to them with one dude so strong he's holding up the car while the other guy's changing a tire. Never gets another gag.
Yeah.
But Dean Martin is there holding court with about 20 women. Like, you know, ladies, I should be praying for you. And I'm not that kind of priest, I think he says.
Yeah.
And Sammy Davis is there, like, registering him, and he's pulling away the alcoholics.
Because I think somebody even makes the comment, like, you chose Catholic priests.
Why wasn't I a Methodist?
Why wasn't I a Methodist?
And Dean Martin loses it, and he's like, next time, Methodists.
but again, you have to like, Terry Bradshaw is then loading five cases of beer into his car, and Sammy Davis is holding up the cocktail glass like he's the dad and the critic. It's always in his hand, and it's always half full. And he's drinking it. It just refills itself like you're in a video game. It's amazing. Then the race starts, right? It's late at night or early in the morning, whatever.
At this point, it starts, and it's not necessarily the person who finishes first, but the person who finishes with the least time.
Right, it's Tour de France rules.
Right.
So they have a time card, they stamp the time card at various places along the race, and so it's nighttime, you know, the dudes and ladies are all lined up, and then they're going to run to their cars, and one at a time they're going to start this race.
Right.
Meanwhile, Foyt has tried to call the cops to try to get there, and kind of no one believes him, because he's just a wet blanket this whole movie, I guess.
I like to think that even his coworkers think, like, oh, it's Foyt again.
That's
like,
right.
Just ignore him. Because he just seems like a wet blanket. And somehow, I forget how he conned Farrah Fawcett into coming in, but she's as a photographer for him for some reason. And then she gets kidnapped by JJ and the crew.
Oh, in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's honestly
they need
that
a doctor and they need a
female patient.
the race is starting. Dom DeLuise is all doing his kind of out of breath, flop sweat, bad guy character, which he does. He goes, now, gee, I'm so sorry. I got a doctor, but it's not a doctor you'd be happy with, right? He goes, well, you got the doctor, right? Yeah, but we don't have a patient because you screwed up the patient gig. And then we get the door opening and this guy is a proctologist, and he's also just drunk this whole time. He's sweating.
Drunk and high.
And
I think he's high on his own supply.
Yes.
Yeah, he's injecting. He just has a giant syringe.
It being the 80s, he probably recycles the syringe. It's just, I have one syringe to use on everybody for everything.
He did wipe it off with his fingers at one point.
Well, especially that one finger that he wags around. It's like, this is my proctology finger.
Well, he makes the joke. He goes, I don't usually have that many tools except for this one. Gross. Gross. The Sheik in his Bentley. We have the priests in their Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they're in a Ferrari. Yeah. The women are in a Lambo. We have trucks and Transams and stuff. And we're all going.
Yeah, and they get on the road. And really, I mean, to be honest, it's just a series of obstacles and people screwing with each other. I mean, they don't touch upon everyone. It's like they introduce everyone at the beginning, and then they re-show everyone at the end. But in the middle, it really only revolves around probably sight gags with the Lamborghini girls, with them constantly being pulled over. I think that happens like four times.
Yeah.
And they just cut to it real quick, and then, you know, they flirt their way out of it, and they move on.
We have the Japanese team.
The Japanese team.
And the gag is there's a lot of tech in their car, so they can drive at night with the lights off because they have infrared, so they can go, like, super fast.
And they can tell when a police car is up ahead.
They spend a lot of time, actually, on that team.
Surprisingly,
they didn't actually have names. They were Subaru driver number one and Subaru driver number two.
Of course they were. We have, what else? How did they get the girl? There's an accident.
Farrah Fawcett?
No. Yeah, how do they end up with her in the car?
Hoyt gets in some sort of accident. So being an ambulance, they pull over. And she says, you need to help. So they grab her and leave Hoyt.
Yeah, he's about to get in the back, and they just drive off, and he falls back out of the car.
And so she's freaking out, like, you just left the victim behind. And they're like, no, 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 you're coming with us. Like, they legitimately kidnap
her. They straight up kidnap her, yeah.
It's not a, like, so this is why we're going to take you. We need you for this reason. It's just, you're coming with us. Bye.
Well, and she calls them out later. But also, they're like, well, you should be on the gurney, because we could get pulled over. And... so the doctor comes out with a syringe, and he goes, inject yourself first. And he injects himself and immediately loses consciousness. Yeah. after whimpering like a dog, if I recall.
Yeah.
I think at that point, also, JJ's a little bit skeezed. No one's comfortable with this cop, although he plays his part when they get pulled over. Literally the next scene.
They all do, because she's got the laughing gas that they put on her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess they have laughing gas somehow. And she just seems fine with it. And
well, it's implied that it wasn't consensual.
I mean, right.
Yeah,
I don't think it's even implied. It's flat out said.
Like, yeah, it's flat out said. Yeah. She was like, yeah, y'all drugged me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and we also have to get the scene. Like, she's strapped to the gurney giggling because they've been giving her laughing gas. She's hooked up to an IV, and the cop, or the doctor, who's completely out of it, pulls her arm over, listens to the watch, and goes, well, she's alive, and unhooks her from an IV of some sort. And you're just like, what on... God's name is happening. Meanwhile, they've now been driving for 2 days, at which point the cops, or the priests, trick him into pulling over for a blessing.
Which was a great gag. It was a great gag. And obviously, Dom DeLuise is the one that wants to pull over.
Because he's like, Catholic. Yeah,
the priests want to bless us. Let's go ahead and do this. And JJ, he's hung up on a black priest?
Well, and they're driving a Ferrari. Because what if they want to get to blessings quicker? Fine.
So while Dean Martin is charming JJ, Sammy Davis Jr. is letting the air out of their tires.
Right.
But they get back at the priests. Which in hindsight... You know, it's Catholic priests, but it's they pull over a cop and they say to the cop, hey, there are a couple of priests behind us in a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or whatever, and they're flashing people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're basically saying that they're dressed as priests and they're flashing people, and this conservative Missouri cop.
The sheriff is like, Joey, send him to jail, Jim Bob.
Yeah.
No, it's like papists. And then he goes, and they have guns. And he's like, good. And you're just like, this is a different movie than I thought it was going to be. We cut to James.
Also filmed in Covington.
That's right. We cut back to Roger Moore, playing Roger Moore, being Roger Moore. And this is also when you realize, wait, is he Bond? Because he has like the champagne in the glove box. Mm-hmm. There's buttons that the woman shouldn't touch. Now she's French, I think, with dark hair instead of a blonde. And it's also one of these jokes that until the third time it happens, you just think you're wrong. Because like, I'm like, wait, wasn't he with a blonde woman? Maybe I'm wrong. Yep. And then she turns blonde in the next scene, and you're just like, oh, whatever. But she lights a cigarette by nearly grabbing the cigarette lighter. And he's like, not that one. Here's a lighter.
It's like a running joke. He says, don't press that button.
Right. But he does have champagne on board. Get it back at her. Then we have the doctor trying to go in the bathroom with Farrah Fawcett. Which is weird.
And what does he say? He says something.
I've seen it all before. I've seen it all. I'm a doctor. And she just sort of shrugs and he goes in with her. And it's just like, that's weird.
She's still coming down. We're then introduced to the married couple driving by on the motorcycle. You realize he's losing the race because of these tires. And he gets mad at Dom DeLuise and Captain Chaos. Yeah, I don't know. Like, we could just keep talking about whatever you want in this movie because it just keeps going on and on and on and on. but this is when they turn the Ferrari in for being pedophile priests or flasher priests. We have the meet cute between Burt Reynolds and Farrah Fawcett in the back of the truck at this point. I guess.
It's a bit late for a meet cute because they've met several times before.
Oh, and they've been kidnapped her an hour ago at this point in the movie. Because
they met in the bar as well.
That's right. And at this point, Foyt has set up the first blockade, which is where we get our hilarity.
I guess you could say.
We get Terry Bradshaw drunk as a skunk and offering a beer to the cops and to Foyt. We have, at this point, they get the team that no one could even bother with out of the van. They then accidentally push the van in neutral off a cliff, which hits a cop car and explodes because this is a Hal Needham movie.
Exactly, it has to.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we have them, JJ and Dom DeLuise, getting away on the back of a truck covered in a green tarp because they figure, well, they're not racing a truck across the country. We can get with this, which is
it's awesome. Pretty clever, I guess, yeah. For what it is.
For what it is.
And I think right after that scene was when they meet up with the biker gang. And
yeah, it goes pretty quick, doesn't it?
It does go.
You've got a lot of little scenes.
Yeah, a couple more little cut scenes.
But nothing substantial until we see the biker gang.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what's interesting here.
Like, everyone was waiting in, was it Texas or California, where there was this big roadblock and everybody was there.
Yeah.
And then there's this bar next to it and there's the biker gang there.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, in between are all those scenes we were talking about. This is where the sheik tries to pick up the woman at the... by ordering lamb burgers and couscous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He also stares at her boobs and says milks, and then he goes, no, because this is exactly the age of this movie.
Yep. I did like one of the Bond girls turns to Roger Moore and says, I can't wait to tell my friends I met George Hamilton.
That's funny.
which was probably less funny then as it is later on when he's an ancient guy playing the same character.
That's true. We have Farrah Fawcett becoming friends with Dom DeLuise because he's the only person we've met in the movie who hasn't stared at her boobs yet.
Well, she also talked to him like he was a 5-year-old. That whole conversation, I was like, is Dom supposed to be like special in this movie?
Captain Chaos is your friend.
I did like the story of how Captain Chaos came out.
His origin story.
that he was a beat up kid on the playground, and then Captain Chaos came, his alter ego. And he had, you know, it gave him courage and it gave him the ability to punch people. And that kind of made him a better person, I guess.
Yes, but. And then something about the color pink comes up. And he goes, I like the color pink. And she goes, I wear pink everything. And she goes, no, I don't wear underwear. And you're just like...
Where did that come from? I mean, obviously you don't, because that's where this movie is.
Yeah.
Well, and apparently it was cold on set all the time, which again, must have been a note from Burt Reynolds. I just assume, hey, Al, a little warm on set today. But yeah, I mean, at this point, Ferrari probably gets pulled over again, or the Lamborghini probably gets pulled over again. Right now was when we're in California, so the fifth time it turns out to be another blonde bombshell pulls him over as a cop.
Yes, Valerie Perrine in an uncredited cameo, fresh off of her Miss Tessmacher success.
Right, and so when she sees that...
Oh, yeah! I was trying to figure out who that was.
Yeah, it's Valerie Perrine. She had just finished Superman 2 and Can't Stop the Music, which...
Wow.
The Queen movie, right?
That's the Village People movie.
Village People movie, excuse me. this is all... And then we have the Bond scene where he screws up because there's a cop chasing them. They have the smoke screen, and then the oil slick, and then the police car, you know, spins off. But then the smoke starts filling up the car.
Yeah.
And so then this time the Russian woman's like, well, I should open... He goes, it's becoming foggy in old London because there's no dialogue here. and she rolls down the window. And about here is where Jackie Chan is watching porno for no reason.
Yeah. He's what? His friend is asleep in the car and he's just driving at night. And, hey, here's a cassette. Let's put this in the cassette player. And, oh, it's behind the green door. Let's just look at that instead of driving.
And then he immediately drives off the road, because of course you would. but I mean, like, at this point, like you said, the movie's ending. Like, they're all stuck at, like, a roadblock / train station, like, train crossing at the California border. They're, like, 5 miles away. This is the end. And they're all back on top of each other. At which point, Peter Fonda shows up as the head of the bike.
Yes.
And they decide to beat up the billionaire and his... co-pilot who is still dressed in a dress, but his wig is off because he's sick and tired of all of this. but they're beating up the fancy guy in the tuxedo on the back of a bike, and then it just becomes a rumble.
Everyone throws in, and it's an opportunity for everyone to be a little bit funny. Jackie Chan to show off his moves,
and he keeps fighting after the scene is over, which I thought was funny. Like, the movie's leaving him behind,
and everyone's leaving, everyone's gone. And he's like, hold on. And he's still trying to, like, beat people up.
Well, and what else is going on? Captain Chaos shows up and starts...
Yeah.
He saves the day. The women fall for Captain Chaos, as you would. You have Dean Martin and Sammy Davis trying to stay out of the fight because they know the second the fight is over, the race is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But Dean Martin gets stuck into the fight while he's holding a drink and he's trying to fight. And Burt Reynolds just throws an elbow at him by accident. It's fine. It's all good. But yeah, this is... And we also have to emphasize, along the way, Sammy Davis is putting bets on. And so as people are going down in the fight, he's on the phone with the bookie. And he's like, you can't change the odds now. He's getting into it. And again, it could have only been better if the bookie was, I don't know, Frank. Like if someone else with the Rat Pack was on the end of the phone yelling at him, because that's the movie we're in.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, they're all fighting with each other. Farrah Fawcett's camera suddenly reappears and she's taking pictures of the fight. Because again, this turns into a Hunter S. Thompson bit, and she's now embedded with the racers. At one point, Dean Martin is with the doctor drinking whatever is in his syringe out of a shot glass. Whatever.
Didn't he flat out ask me, like, so what does that taste like? Or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. And he just squirts it in his mouth.
Roger Moore goes up like he's going to fight someone and gets hit in the jaw. You hear shattering glass and he falls to the ground.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. And again, they clearly like each other, because when Captain Chaos appears, JJ is just like, well, I have to help him now. I didn't want to get involved, but I will help my friend, which is nice.
He's got that resigned smile on his face every time Captain... Like, he's angry, but he's got this smile that's breaking through. Now, whether or not that's acting or Burt Reynolds just saying, screw it, you know, who knows?
Yeah, no, who knows? And again, like, they're in the middle of the fight, and then a construction guy just goes, hey, road's open. And all like, well, the road's open. Let's end this movie. And there's a race to end the movie first.
Yeah.
But Jackie Chan wants to keep fighting people, which is just...
I mean, it gives us some good views of Jackie Chan beating the crap out of people in typical Hollywood, you know, kung fu ways.
Yeah.
He doesn't just punch them. Like, he does high kicks, he flips, he turns around, he does all this stuff.
Well, and then, like, Peter Fonda, like, bows to him and just gets kicked in the face. Like, it's great. And then the cars go off, like, another race, and we have Need for Speed 3 all of a sudden. Like, it's just awesome.
And then all of a sudden it's over. Like, they're at this wharf.
Yeah.
And there's the finish line, and they all stop, they all crash. What I forget what happened.
Well, but... We just have to, like, emphasize the fact that Hal Needham had, at this point, probably no script. And they're just like, well, how do you want to end that? Hey, that Jackie Chan guy can fight. And so the cars are driving off towards the pier, and he's still punching people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at the other end, they're like, there's a race with parties. Like, and there's tables set up, and there's a finish line. And you're just like, wait, is this illegal racing or not? Yeah. And she's just going. And then Dom DeLuise starts driving like a calm, composed person. And he goes, where's Captain Chaos? You should be driving like Captain Chaos. Where'd the mask go? And he goes, I don't control the mask. The mask controls me. And Burt Reynolds goes to the back, I guess, to get more booze. And then they just take off like a rocket. And that's where the movie is kind of catapulting to the end, to the William Tell overture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Essentially, they're about to win the race. Captain Chaos goes and saves a dog. Right? After Burt Reynolds...
It's like a woman saying, my baby, fell in the water, oh no.
After Burt Reynolds essentially pretends to trip and takes out the entire rest of the race, except for who?
Adrian Barbeau.
Who ends up winning the race, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though they don't care.
It's not the first person to cross the line. It's like they change the rules at the end.
Yeah, you need to use your punch card, and that's what makes you win.
But it's also kind of a sweet scene, because like they fight, there's like this, he tears off the mask and goes, I never liked Captain Chaos anyway, and then he comes up as Captain America.
Captain USA.
Foyt is there, and they just all agree to kick him to death. I don't know what happens. I think Roger Moore gets his redemption here and blows him up with a ejector.
No, he blows himself up.
Because he gives Foyt a cigar and says, there's a lighter in my car. Because that's the one he has always been telling the girls not to press.
Right.
And then he's puffing on this cigar, and Roger Moore sits in the passenger seat and is like, how did you do that? Oh, I pressed the button. What? And you see him fiddling with a button, and Roger Moore suddenly goes flying off in the ejector seat.
And the whole movie stops for about 45 seconds. Say, hey, jackass, why is nothing happening? And he's literally sitting to Burt Reynolds and goes, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But it's also, it's It's so funny because it is the difference between American and the international markets at this point. Bond is probably the top box office draw globally, mm-hmm. but Burt Reynolds is the American. So the two of them standing next to each other, you're just like, 1981 was a very strange time in film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But Roger Moore ends up in whatever bay, whatever waterway they're near. And then Roger Moore has a movie line, like, if I'm filming next year, I'm not doing this again, or whatever, something like that. And then they just all get drunk. Yeah. As all movies should end. It's a very convivial ending.
Keeps it, you know, keeps along with pace of everything been going.
That's right.
Drink before, drink during, drink after.
Exactly.
Terry Bradshaw was coming down. He needed a little alcohol.
Yeah. For a movie about driving, you want to be drinking.
Yeah.
And driving. It's all driving this whole time. And they end up, you know, again, it was probably all filmed in southern Georgia. And then they just found a coast somewhere. It's probably like Allatoona. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least if it was filmed today.
I mean, you know, clearly this was a month-long booze fest party.
Mm.
It's absolutely clear that that's what this movie was.
Yeah.
It's like every Adam Sandler Netflix movie. It's just him and his buddies cutting up.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I felt like.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say that's the only part that didn't feel like it worked for me. Maybe it did in real life. But like the Farrah Fawcett romance angle. Because like I got the feeling that everyone was having a great time on set. So the second there had to be romance, I'm like, nah, just get back to drinking. Because that's where it felt like they were having the most fun. Like Dean Martin, Sammy Davis, that was not stunt booze. They were just really drinking. Like Terry Bradshaw just had craft services in his truck, right? Like, mm-hmm. And so I believe that they all got along great. I mean, that's all that the bloopers are at the end. It's just them flubbing lines and laughing for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And they all got Foyt's names wrong so often, apparently just worked its way into the script because, whatever. Yeah. No, it's great. I love this. I had so much fun watching this.
It was amazing. I actually hadn't seen it since the 80s. I didn't see it when it first came out, but I did watch it a couple years later. The only things I remember three distinct things. I remember Captain Chaos.
Sure.
I remembered the Subaru, the Asian car.
Sure.
Because, well, you know,
as would.
Around the time I was very much into Knight Rider. And I remembered Burt Reynolds' laugh. Yeah, it's a very distinct laugh. Mm-hmm. Well, him and Dom DeLuise both have very distinct laughs.
Dom DeLuise, like, fat guy wheeze laughing. I don't know. It's great.
Yeah.
He's a joy. He's a joy.
And it's the type of thing that you could play and people would know, oh, that's Dom DeLuise laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Or that's Burt Reynolds laughing.
Which is why the two of them worked well a few years later in All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah, that's true.
It's basically the same cast, really.
Al Needham's All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
And probably the same amount of booze.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can't tell you if I've seen this before or not, because so many Burt Reynolds movies are just him driving around.
Yeah.
I think I've seen this before. This was a joy. I love this movie. I was telling them, unfortunately right now, since it's Fox, it's owned by Disney, and I just can't imagine them putting this out on Disney Plus. But like, if you can put a Mad World on Criterion, I'd love a nice 4K cut of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just because the soundtrack is great, the jokes are there, and it's a tight 90, which is how long you want a comedy. You don't need a 2.5 hour Judd Apatow comedy. You need it to be short, because none of the jokes can play out in 90 minutes. It was great. I wish it was easier to find.
Yeah, really. Yeah. What do you think of it?
Well, I saw all the like 70s because I'm a little bit older, and I saw Smokey and the Bandit when it came out in the theater.
Hey.
And then a lot of those other movies like Every Which Way But Loose and Hot Stuff, which is my favorite Dom DeLuise movie.
Mm.
If you can ever find that one, it is a delight. And I hadn't ever seen this till like maybe last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I love Farrah Fawcett, although they did her wrong because she's just such a hippy dippy imbecile in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of frustrating.
Trees.
I love trees.
Like, and who uses like ball all night? Like ball your brains out was and I was like, who says that? Not even in the 80s. I'm like, as in many things in the 80s, most of the women were kind of an afterthought, like the Lambo girls, considering they didn't have names. And
mm-hmm.
Well, they wanted to maintain that PG rating.
Yeah.
It was PG. It wasn't PG-13.
Well, there wasn't PG-13.
Well, that's
right.
It was back.
Yeah. It was before PG-13.
Yeah. So they were trying to, like, you know, keep it family friendly, I guess.
I mean, the only distinction was there was no bad language and there was no nudity.
Yeah.
But being
This could have skewed into nudity very cool.
Easily. Like, it skirted that line.
Yeah, you're right. They didn't have much room for it. Although, I will say, well, I don't want to defend that. They could have gotten rid of some characters and given someone like her more lines. I don't want this movie to be longer. I just want her to do more.
Well, you point out an important detail is that there were so many people that several teams just, like, at least two teams got lost.
Yeah.
Like, the two yokels in the van.
Yeah.
Yep.
They could have been completely removed. And then the two guys who were in the Dodge truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The guy with the bad impersonations.
Yeah, the guy with the impersonations. And I'm sure there was a story as to why they needed to be in the movie, but if they cut them out, it probably would have been a much tighter movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, give the women something a little bit more to do other than show their cleavage, but
yeah.
That's a product of 1981 comedies. This came out around Animal House this time. Like, you're not gonna...
like, as it turns out, this one's probably one of the better films for women, I guess, in that era.
Well, we have 9 to 5.
Well, yes.
But I don't know. I thought this movie was fun.
Yeah, it's definitely fun.
Yeah, it was it was a lot of fun.
Slightly problematic, but a lot of fun.
As much of the
80s. As much of the 80s, 80s comedy. I mean, you know, you're not getting away with it without it being problematic at some level.
In some way, yeah.
And you have non-consensual kidnapping, stereotypical Asians with music, Jamie Farr, period.
Yeah, Jamie Farr.
He pitched his own character.
Yeah. And a lot like you guys, I don't think I'd ever seen this all the way through up until I watched it for this. Like, I'd seen bits and pieces because it's just one of those movies that's always out there in some way. But I fully enjoyed it in a lot of ways that I didn't expect. And like I said, the priests, I would happily watch a Blues Brothers type movie just of them.
Just of them, yeah.
Just of them. They were fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, Blues Brothers the next year, I think, 82.
I think so, yeah.
So this movie owes a lot, they owe a lot to this movie.
And I like how they didn't load this movie with a lot of plot. That would have bogged this down in ways that you really did not need.
No,
it's a bunch of crazy people just driving like hell across country. That's it.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, totally.
And like, because I think the formula was kind of used again later in Rat Race, which was what,
2002.
Oh fuck!
Yeah. Follow That Bird.
Yeah, it was used again. And
Follow That Bird is better than Rat Race.
Yeah.
Like, but it was a formula that didn't work when they remade it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of that was they just added too much in. Like, they wanted to make too much story or too much characterization or something. And this is a movie that runs quickly because it's all about the cars and moving fast and just gags. So it was fun.
Yeah, totally.
I would have preferred a hybrid with Death Race 2000.
Death Race 2000.
Yes.
That's such a good movie.
They had less teams, so you had more time to get to know all the teams before they got knocked out. And
yeah.
Well, that movie was not afraid of an R rating. If I recall correctly, at one point they have like a stopover, like, they're resting for the night, and there's just topless women walking around for no reason. But very young Sly Stallone in that movie.
Yeah, but I just like how all the teams were kind of a little more fleshed out. And I think if they had, lost the fight scene, just and I didn't understand why that was there. I also didn't understand Burt Convy, but I never understood Burt Convy growing up. He was in the game show called Tattletales, and that's like the only thing I knew him for. And that was one thing I'd written down last time. I'm like, Burt Convy, why? I'm like, he's a waste of space. And there's, from the one scene where he jumped out of the plane, and then he was like one more time, and he popped up in the scene, the fight scene, and then he really wasn't.
Again, you could have cut easily two or three teams out of this.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have hurt anything.
I do like the idea that you're like, of course Burt Convy was going to start the fight.
Yeah, of course.
You're just so mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Because there have been some teams, I think that was one of them, where like they showed up at the fight and like, I haven't seen them since when they started.
Exactly. No, they would cut to a scene every now and then where it was probably the same stock footage.
Just them doing a wheelie down
the road. Doing a wheelie down the road.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then voiceovers.
Like someone saying, you know you can use two wheels. Or something like that. That's the entire thing. It was preposterous.
No one's seen the sequel?
There's
a sequel. That's the only one available. Like if you look it on Amazon or something like that, like that's available to stream.
Yeah, I did actually see the sequel. And it was,
More forgettable than this.
Yeah.
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 That's about right.
I mean, it really was the same thing, just more.
Because I think by this point, Cannonball, like the actual Cannonball Run was over.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because the cops had wised up.
Reagan's America.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Reagan. Yeah, like, the cops flat out say, like, you can't do that anymore.
I mean, yeah.
But, it's still, you know, it does have Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin in it, just saying.
The very the end of their career.
Yeah, yeah. The sequel. I mean, it brought back a lot of the really? People who okay. were in the original
I've
one.
Not seen the sequel.
I mean, you know, Jamie Farr is in it as well, wow. because...
It can't be perfect.
What else can you
yeah. But... Oh, look, Telly Savalas, Sherlyn Klein, you know, some interesting people. You
they
know?
Tried.
Yeah, oh, Jackie Chan's back.
By that point, they had actually paid him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Police story had come out.
Oh, and Dr. Nicholas Van Helsing is back.
Of course he is.
Is he driving his own car?
I don't know, maybe, who knows. You know, maybe it's something that we need to watch.
No, next time we're doing Smokey. You gotta do Smokey in a minute.
That's a good point.
Or we could do a Stoker Ace. If you haven't seen Stoker Ace, it's what Talladega Nights is based on.
That would be awesome, yeah. Actually, to be honest, any Burt Reynolds movie from that era is just freaking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they had no budget. They just had enough budget for cars and beer, and that was kind of it.
Yeah, cars, beers, and Burt, be charming. Be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Wasn't he in Archer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Because he was like Archer's would-be dad.
Well, I mean, he's who Archer wants to be his dad the whole
exactly.
time.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I think we got this movie.
Yeah, I think we got it, yeah. So, unless anyone has anything else to add, I think we can wrap this one up. Thank you all for listening, and this has been Mission Briefing, your everything James Bond-ish podcast, and we will catch you next time. Until then, good night.
Thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.